From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. And on this day, the University of Maine's plan to massively increase the number of nurses trained in the state, and a seminar to bring incarcerated Mainers into the workforce attracts a lot of potential employers. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
The University of Maine system today announced it plans to double enrollment in its nursing program in response to the state's workforce shortage. The five-year plan hinges in part on a bond issue this November that would authorize $49 million in funds to the university system for infrastructure improvements. Patty White has more.
Already, there are hundreds of nursing vacancies in the state, says University of Maine System Chancellor James Page. By 2025, the number is expected to swell to more than 3,000.
Although we face these kinds of challenges in just about every profession across the state, the one in nursing and healthcare is particularly acute.
That's because the demand for nurses will increase as Maine's population over 65 grows faster than both the New England and national average, a point that was underscored as Page unveiled the nursing workforce plan at the Wisdom Summit on Aging in Augusta. He says one strategy to bring in more nursing students is to expand degree programs to rural areas of the state. The University of Maine at Augusta will launch baccalaureate nursing programs in Ellsworth, Brunswick, Rockland, and Rumford next year, says President Rebecca Weick.
So individuals who might already be living and working and raising families in those communities but would like to pursue a baccalaureate education would have the opportunity to do so.
Further north, the University of Maine at Fort Kent is collaborating with its sister school in Presque Isle to offer a nursing degree program there. Also, Weick says, the University of Maine at Machias is developing an accelerated degree program down east.
So each of us are using our strengths in different ways in order to address the needs across the state.
Of course, higher education comes with a price tag. So the nursing workforce plan will also provide education tuition-free for eligible students, says Chancellor Page.
We just can't, as a state, we cannot afford to have qualified students who are not going through and achieving this outcome because of a short-term financial challenge.
The university system is facing its own financial challenge. Some of the elements of the plan hinge on whether voters approve a $49 million bond this November. It would fund infrastructure improvements for the state's university system. About a quarter of the bond money would directly support nursing education through new and updated labs and classrooms. If all goes according to plan, nursing enrollment would climb from the university system's current 1,900 students to 3,800 in 5 years. But Ryan Wallace is skeptical whether that will be enough to prevent a workforce shortage.
I think educational institutions are certainly going to be a key component of solving that challenge, but ultimately we're going to need to find other ways to address it.
Wallace is the director of the Maine Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Southern Maine. He says many states, including those in New England, also face nursing workforce shortages, and Maine will have to compete to attract nurses to the state and to keep them here. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Forest officials are warning of impending disaster after the discovery of the destructive emerald ash borer in Maine for the second time.
Well, unfortunately, this is pretty much a death knell for ash trees in the future in Maine. It hasn't been able to be stopped all the way from Michigan to Maine, so I doubt that we'll be able to stop it as well.
That's state horticulturalist Gary Fish. He says now that the invasive insect has been discovered in the York County towns of Acton and Lebanon, it's just a matter of time before the beetle spreads to other parts of the state, and probably not under its own steam. By itself, the beetle travels perhaps 2 to 10 miles in a year, he says. But when hitching a ride on a load of illegal firewood, its range is endless. And he says people don't seem to be getting the message.
It only takes one person to bring the wood at the wrong time of year and not burn it up and leave it there, and then you end up with emerald ash borer being released.
Fish says the state can battle the emerald ash borer with various species of parasitic wasp that prey on the beetles, but he warns such efforts have met with limited success. The department's planning an informational meeting for residents of York County. call it a potential match made in prison. A seminar billed as a way to help inmates re-enter Maine's workforce attracted 120 employers eager to find ways to address a challenging labor shortage in Maine. For some, it marks the first time they've ever considered recruiting from this labor pool or even setting foot in the Maine State Prison. But as Susan Sharon reports, businesses that have tried it say so far it's been a resounding success.
Maine Department of Corrections staff thought if they were lucky, they might get 60 employers to register. Instead, more than twice as many showed up.
No cell phones, okay? Put them in your vehicle or one of these lockers.
After going through a security screening and leaving their cell phones and car keys at a checkpoint, employers heard from some of their counterparts about the experience of hiring current and former inmates from Maine's prison system.
We started hiring the Bolduc guys because we realized that we had a labor shortage and that we desperately needed help.
Catherine Robbins-Halstead is a co-owner and manager of Robbins Lumber, a fifth-generation family-owned sawmill and planer mill in Searsmont with 120 employees. She says the Department of Corrections reached out to her about possibly hiring inmates from the minimum security Bolduc unit in Warren through a work release program after hearing her testify on an employment-related bill. Halstead admits she was initially skeptical and nervous about hiring convicted felons, but about 6 months ago, she hired six of them. She plans to bring on three more next week.
Before this, I probably would have said no to looking further at the applicant. I think people went in thinking that they wouldn't be as good as they are, but they show up at work every day, super polite, a smile on their face. They want to do a good job.
Lessons that we've learned. Not to judge a book by its cover. First lesson.
Jay McDonald is the senior operations manager for LaBrie Bakery in Old Town, which has 200 associates, including about 40 current and former inmates. He hires many of them through a work release program at Mountain View Correctional Center in Charleston, where there is training in carpentry, culinary, small engine repair, and other trades. McDonald says it's been a positive experience and a big help to his bakery that sells products across the country.
We were pleasantly surprised at the respect shown to management and everyone else by the inmates. The level of intellect, we were also surprised.
This is music to the ears of Brian Dolliff of Hillendale Farms in Turner, where he says it's a struggle to find workers who will stick it out in the egg production business. Dolliff says the company has been relying on temporary labor to fill immediate needs, but he's looking to train long-term employees, people who are willing to work hard and move up the ranks the way he did.
We try to become more and more efficient, but at times, you know, that means there's some added labor to it. We have some great people that come in and they love it and they stay, and we have some people that come in and they don't make it to the first break, you know.
And that's why Dolliff is thinking about a new recruitment strategy, hiring former inmates. Like so many here, he says he's a believer in second chances. Ronald Bubar, a Maine State prison inmate serving a 40-year sentence, will be getting released in about 6 years. All this positive talk, he says, gives him hope.
It's actually emotional for me because there's a fear of not being successful when you walk out after doing all these years. And to hear employers be willing to at least take a look at hiring an inmate, I can't wait for that opportunity.
But some employers warned of pitfalls. One discussed how some inmates on work release kept pressuring their driver to take them to a convenience store so they could buy beer. They were likely not a good fit for the company's needs, he said. Others highlighted the importance of clear expectations and the need to be aware of the challenge of finding affordable housing and transportation for workers, many of whom have suspended driver's licenses. But Maine State Prison Warden Randall Liberty says these kinds of seminars have the potential to be a game changer. Maine currently has a recidivism rate of about 70%.
The key here is to ensure that we reduce the recidivism rate, the rate at which people are returned to prison. And I think that's going to benefit the state of Maine overall, and I certainly know it will benefit the individuals that reside here.
Liberty says having meaningful employment can go a long way toward achieving that goal. Wednesday's seminar is expected to be the first of many collaborations between the state and the business community. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And finally today, Hurricane Florence is bearing down now on the coast of South Carolina, and thousands of people are being evacuated. Hundreds of miles north, Maine isn't feeling much of an impact. But one effect from the storm is emerging along the southern coast, as Willis writer Arnold discovered this morning at Higgins Beach in Scarborough.
Surfers often gather on this beach in the fall and winter when the waves are bigger, but they're turning out this week to take advantage of a particular weather event.
This hurricane is bringing in a perfect swell for shortboarders. It's really what it all is.
Mick Anastasi is one of dozens of people who have come in search of slightly larger waves than usual. He drove up from Boston with a friend and hit the beach by 8 a.m. He explains that the weather patterns churned up by Hurricane Florence create solid wind conditions here in Maine. And the wind, he says, actually slows down the waves,
which makes for a nicer ride. Today we have kind of a bit of a crosswind, but it's better that you don't want it to be blowing right in your face, like onshore, because then it's just closing out the waves.
Maureen Furlong, a nurse anesthetist from Maine, is less focused on the weather phenomena as she walks out of the surf, sets down her board, and sits right on the edge of the water.
I'm out here today to enjoy some waves because most of the summer has been flat, and I just happen to have the day off.
Furlong is likely to be joined by other surfers at Higgins and other spots along the Maine coast. If weather patterns hold, they say they expect good waves to continue for the next couple of days. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.